The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
Today, CDC is updating our guidance for fully vaccinated people. Anyone who is fully vaccinated can participate in indoor and outdoor activities, large or small, without wearing a mask or physical distancing. If you are fully vaccinated, you can start doing the things that you had stopped doing because of the pandemic. We have all longed for this moment when we can get back to some sense of normalcy.
Oh, and I screwed up my headphones. Hey, we don't have to wear masks anymore. Woohoo! All right, now I gotta find my other headphone thing. But yeah, all right, I'm still gonna wear a mask because here's the thing: when you're out and about, you don't know that other people are, you know, honest. So we've got all the anti-vaxxers out there who are not wearing masks, who claim they've been vaccinated, but you know they haven't. So, this is really good news. So, yay us. We made it. Well, kind of, sort of. I mean, it's been a long... Damn it. This. Hold on 1 second. I got to get my other ear thing. And my hair is messed up. Anyway... this will do for now. The mandate is, except, you know, for people who aren't vaccinated. Sorry, you still need to wear a mask. And what else? Yeah, because you can't trust the other people. Frankly, that's the world we live in, and it's really sad. But it is good news. They're saying when you're outside, don't worry about the mask. When you're inside, if you're fully vaccinated, you don't need no stinking masks, but you still gotta, you know, watch out for the other people. And you know who they are. They're in your neighborhood. They're the ones who sneered at you because you were wearing a mask, but now you don't have to. Oh, I thought, you know, I had some fun with that. You remember the stripper song, right? If anybody needs a copy of it, just let me know. I'm happy to email it to you. I made a special edited quickie version. Sorry, they'll probably copyright violate me. Hey, all right. It is Thursday. Howie Klein is back with us today. He wasn't here last Thursday because he was getting his second shot. So it'll be interesting because, you know, Howie is also immunocompromised. You know, although I had lung cancer, he had a much more serious and rarer type of cancer that he still gets treatment for. I mean, he's in remission, but he is, I believe, immunocompromised. That's why he had to go into the hospital to get the vaccine for both shots, and he's still under doctor's care. So I think he's going to continue being vigilant, which we all should be, because the last thing we want is to get, you know, the COVID. So, this is a good... step forward. Look how long it's been. I mean, there are many who have been home since early March of last year. It is now May of 2021. I was home. You know, I was volunteering at the local animal shelter as up until March 22nd of 2020. That's the day they kicked us out and shut down. By the way, I just have to say this. There's a horrible trend happening right now where people are now going back into the office, and many who adopted or fostered animals from a rescue group or a shelter are bringing them back. Don't bring them back, please. First of all, I know woulda, shoulda, coulda. That's, you know, my mantra. But if you were only going to do it temporarily, you shouldn't have done it in the first place. Unless you were fostering, went into it fostering, but had committed to finding the pet you were fostering a new home. Please don't send them back to the shelters. There are so many right now being turned in that many shelters are now once again over capacity. And it's horrible. Don't do that to them, please. All right. Hey, I got to share with you a couple of letters to the editor from the Miami Herald. So I want to share this one that was in the paper last week. The date was, it was Sunday, last Sunday, May 9th. And the letter read, they put a headline on each letter. This one, the headline was read, "Be Nice." And it's from somebody named Gladys Churn in Redland. Redland, Florida? I didn't even know there was a Redland, Florida. But anyway, let me share with you the letter called "Be Nice." It says, "The Miami Herald, stop running so many negative stories about Governor DeSantis and write articles appreciating his good works and the energy and courage to pursue them. Instead of touting the voting bill as a way to keep people from voting, why not view it as a way to ensure fairness in elections? The governor's ban on vaccine proof is just one way in which he is working to give us back our freedoms." What? And it continues, "and protecting our businesses and our children in countless other ways by a ban on vaccine proof." Okay. She continues, "Thank goodness that in these trying and difficult times, we are being governed by a brave and intelligent person with a good dose of self-control." Okay. Yeah, no, I do talk about opposite world all the time. And, you know, that's one way to respond to this. But another way is in a letter that was published in yesterday's Miami Herald. Yep. The date is what? Wednesday, May 12th. And this letter from one David M. Sloan of Coral Springs, Florida. It's my husband. He's published again. And he wrote, the letter reads, "The writer of the May 9th letter, Be Nice, is 100% correct. We shouldn't look at the state's voting bill, quote, as a way to keep people from voting. We also shouldn't look at cancer as a horrible thing, but as passive control of the population. And rising sea level as expansion of beach access. Governor DeSantis' weak response to COVID-19, which placed Florida's recovery in the bottom quartile of states while the virus killed more than 30,000 Floridians, should be viewed as eliminating overcrowding. Perhaps Norwegian Cruise Lines and the other companies threatening to leave Florida see the governor's anti-science views as relocating employment opportunities. We have the chance to rid ourselves of this noxious misleader in the next election. Let's hope we don't blow it." That, my friends, is, why I married him. That's my husband. Yeah. But the Miami Herald's website is so bad that, you know, their opinion section is not updated regularly. I mean, I haven't even looked to see if this is online, because the last time I did, it was the letters were like 3 months old. So they want you to use their website, but they don't update it. Anyway, there you go. My husband, the published Miami Herald letter writer. All right. Let's see. There's a lot going on. Right. And I know I went through some of it yesterday, but it is quite stunning. You know, yesterday, this is interesting. There are times that I think, I pat myself on the back here. There are times that it feels like some of these cable shows are listening to my show. Because yesterday, didn't I tell you that the way the the vote to oust Liz Cheney was taken was cowardly? That's the word I used. I said it was cowardly. Well, I'm not the only one who thinks that, because Chris Hayes, check this out. Hold on. Let's see. Okay. So I'm watching Chris Hayes last night. No, not at 8 o'clock, but at 3 o'clock in the morning, because I tend to be awake at that hour. And that's what time they repeat him in the middle of the night. For some reason, they run They won Rachel Maddow probably three times overnight, as they do Lawrence O'Donnell and Brian Williams. But Chris Hayes, they only repeat at 3 a.m., which I just usually happen to be awake. Anyway, so anyway, imagine my surprise because, you know, when I said that yesterday, I hadn't heard anybody else make this point of how cowardly doing a voice vote was. And Chris Hayes explained why it was cowardly.
It was done in the basement in the most cowardly way imaginable, with a voice vote. They did a voice vote because they were afraid of their votes being on the record.
Hello.
And they did not do a secret ballot because they were afraid they might not win the vote.
Yeah.
So now there is no written record of how the Republican members of the House voted.
That's
not
right.
In public, but as I mentioned, in the auditorium of the Capitol basement. And it was done in 20 minutes or so. New York Times reporting that some members missed the vote because they were arriving to the meeting when it broke up. It all happened so quickly.
Right. But so anyway, yes, Diane Russell in the chat room. Great minds think alike. Now, when Melissa said, I'm not so sure about Liz C. myself. Let me tell you something. Liz Cheney is not our friend. I have nothing but contempt for her on a normal day. But I do have now a bit of respect for her for standing up to the enormous pressure, you know, she's facing. Because those Republicans are not nice people. And the fact that she's going up against them, and the fact that she let herself be ousted from leadership and be the pariah right now. That's hard to do, to put yourself in that position. Now, I think she's smart, again, cunning, kind of like a fox. Not somebody that I'd want to be friends with, but she's smart. And she knows, look, Donald Trump is going to be brought down. There will be charges against him. This whole house of cards built up around him is going to crumble. If it doesn't, we have more serious problems than we admit. But, you know, she's no friend to Democrats, to progressives, to our way of thinking. However, she is willing to put everything on the line to say Donald Trump cannot ever be in a position of power again. In fact, right after the vote to oust her, Liz Cheney, you know, walked out to the cameras and the microphones that were set up right outside the room in the basement where they held their voice vote. And she said this.
The nation needs it. The nation needs a strong Republican Party. The nation needs a party that is based upon fundamental principles of conservatism. And I am committed and dedicated to ensuring that that's how this party goes forward. And I plan to lead the fight to do that.
Lead the fight. Are you that former President Trump might end up back in the Oval Office? What are you prepared to do to prevent?
I will do everything I can to ensure that the former president never again gets anywhere near the Oval Office. We have seen the danger that he continues to provoke with his language. We have seen his lack of commitment and dedication to the Constitution. And I think it's very important that we make sure whomever we elect is somebody who will be faithful to the Constitution.
Okay. So, you know, that's a big deal. Again, she still kind of makes my skin crawl, but nowhere near as much as the rest of the Republicans in Congress. I can deal with. I can deal with somebody with whom I have a complete difference of opinion on the issues. At least you know where they stand. If you're honest, I can talk to you. I can debate you because you have a bottom line. We can stipulate to the facts. The other ones, they don't stipulate to the facts. For instance, after the vote yesterday, it was the first time the congressional leadership met with Joe Biden, the four of them. On the Republican side, it's McTurtle and McCarthy. Right. And on the Democratic side, it's Pelosi and Schumer. Well, the four of them had an Oval Office meeting with Joe Biden, ostensibly to talk about everything, but mostly this infrastructure bill. And when the meeting ended after 2 hours, McCarthy and McConnell go up to the microphones. just like Liz Cheney did. But McCarthy, I don't care what else, what the turtle said. I don't care what else McCarthy said. The fact is, he looked into the camera, straight into the camera, and said these words.
I don't think anybody is questioning the legitimacy of the presidential election. I think that is all over with. We're sitting here with the president today.
What? What have we been through since November? November 5th? Dear leader, the guy who that man flew to Florida to, you know, kiss the ring or suck the mushroom, whatever you want to, however you want to characterize it, has been doing just that. Since before Election Day, because he told you over and over again, if I lose, it's only because they cheated and stole the election. By the way, he said the same thing in 2016. They had all the stop the steal nonsense, all the merchandise and the slogan and everything else ready to roll out. But he won in the Electoral College. Go figure. So they just put it on hold and helped it for now. They held it. Until 2000, when and then Donald Trump again lies to the American public and says, I didn't come up with that. You did. You're brilliant. Well, bullshit. That's just
bullshit.
And you know what? Everything they say is bullshit. So frankly, when a Liz Cheney in this instance is honest, I'll give her some credit for it because she's bucking a trend in her party. The gaslighting, which is what it is, was on full display. I mean, the fact that McCarthy could get up there and say that with a straight face, it just shows you that they lie with such impunity, with such ease. It just rolls off the tongue like they learned it from the master, and they did. So, as I said yesterday, there were two hearings that also went on yesterday, one in the House. I'm sure there were others, but the ones that got our attention. One in the House and one in the Senate. Now, yesterday I told you about the Senate hearing, which was on domestic extremism, and that Attorney General Merrick Garland would be testifying. And yesterday I didn't have any audio from it. Today I've got a little clip. So this is Merrick Garland, who I just have to say has a really weird delivery. His vocal affectation is weird, but it's all right. We don't have to love how he speaks. Just know he's better than Bill Barr, right? Okay. And Jeff Sessions. Anyway, Merrick Garland testified, again, before this a Senate committee on domestic extremism, and he said something that we have not heard a representative of the government say, if ever, in a very, very long time.
Unfortunately, the horror of domestic violent extremism is still with us. Indeed, the FBI assessed that 2019 was the deadliest year for violent domestic extremism since 1995. In March of this year, the intelligence community, in a report drafted by DHS, the FBI, and the National Counterterrorism Center, under the auspices of the Director of National Intelligence, assessed that domestic violent extremists pose a elevated threat in 2021.
Yeah, and
in the FBI's view, the top domestic violent extremist threat we face comes from racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists, specifically those who advocate for the superiority of the white race.
In other words, white supremacists. In other words, the same people who marched in Charlottesville, Virginia with their tiki torches, chanting, Jews will not replace us. And the same ones who invaded the Capitol on January 6th. And that brings us to the other hearing that went on yesterday. And this was in the House Oversight Committee, where this was the first congressional hearing into the insurrection at the Capitol on January 6th. And I got to tell you, this was astounding, absolutely astounding. The way some of these first of all, the witnesses, I played some of this for you yesterday, but I will again. Christopher Miller was Donald Trump's last acting Secretary of Defense. And you recall, he installed all these acting cabinet secretaries because if they're acting, they don't go through Senate confirmation. None of these people could have gotten confirmed by the Senate. Then again, we're talking about a Republican Party who will bend over backwards to swear to his lies. So I can't guarantee that. But this Chris Miller guy, he's evil. And in first, it seemed as if he was blaming the media for the insurrection. But when you listen closer, here's another thing that I'm not hearing pointed out anywhere in the corporate media. Do you remember right after January 6th and the days following it, when people were trying to figure out what the hell happened? Where was the cavalry? Why didn't the National Guard show up? Were there no reinforcements? Why was there no help? And one comment came out that just rang curious. And that was, somebody said something about the optics of it, that following Lafayette Square, you know, the day Trump had the photo op across the street at the church with the Bible held upside down. Yeah. That the optics of that, the military assaulting peaceful protesters, was so horrible that they didn't want the optics again. And you'll hear this Christopher Wright say something similar. The Democrats on the committee blew it, because none of them said, you mean you were afraid of the optics of putting down an insurrection at the Capitol? Yeah, it evades all kinds of common sense.
I want to remind you and the American public that during that time, there was irresponsible commentary by the media about a possible military coup, or that advisors to the president were advocating the declaration of martial law. I was also very cognizant of the fears and concerns about the prior use of the military in June 2020 response to protests near the White House. And just before the Electoral College certification, 10 former secretaries of defense signed an op-ed published in the Washington Post warning of the dangers of politicizing and inappropriately.
It's not politicizing.
No such thing was going to occur on my watch.
Really?
But these concerns and hysteria about them nonetheless factored into my decisions regarding the appropriate and limited use of our armed forces to support civilian law enforcement during Electoral College certification. My obligation to the nation was to prevent a constitutional crisis. Historically, military responses to domestic protests have resulted in violations of Americans' civil rights, and even in the case of the Kent State protests of the Vietnam War, tragic deaths.
Oh my God, on so many levels, that's just so wrong. It wasn't about a peaceful protest. This was a violent insurrection where they put up a gallows in outside of the Capitol building, where they marched through the Capitol carrying Confederate flags and other flags that are kind of blasphemy to our country. We don't have our dear leaders' names blazoned on flags. We just don't do that here. We don't have royalty, and we're not supposed to have dictators. These were people who were breaking into the Capitol and that were chanting, "Hang Mike Pence, hang Mike Pence." This wasn't an instance of the military being called out to put down a peaceful protest, as they did in Lafayette Square, or as they did in Kent State. This moron is invoking those terrible situations and aligning himself with that and saying, we weren't going to do that under my watch. What, you're not going to protect Congress under your watch? So in that same hearing, there are some people who are inexplicably members of Congress who said even more disgusting things, like this guy, Andrew Clyde. He's a congressman, obviously a backbencher, because I'd never heard of him before. And he's from Georgia. Andrew Clyde. What do you have to say about what happened on January 6th?
There was no insurrection, and to call it an insurrection, in my opinion, is a bold-faced lie. Watching the TV footage of those who entered the Capitol and walked through Statuary Hall showed people in an orderly fashion staying between the stanchions and ropes, taking videos and pictures. You know, if you didn't know the TV footage was a video from January the 6th, you would actually think it was a normal tourist visit.
I got a song for you. It's not the one you're thinking of. Lie, 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 lie. That is Andrew Clyde. Lie, 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 lying. All right, I better stop this before they copyright me on that one, too. That's a lie. How about Gosar? Oh, yes. Paul Gosar from from Arizona. Oh, boy. Even his family has come out and said he's sick. There's something really, really wrong with this man.
My constituents demand answers, but the truth is being censored and covered up. As a result, the DOJ is harassing peaceful patriots across the country.
Peaceful patriots across the country? The DOJ is harassing peaceful patriots across the country?
Bullshit.
All right. One more. This is Jody Heiss, whoever this person is, also a member of Congress.
It was Trump supporters who lost their lives that day, not Trump supporters who were taking the lives of others.
Really? Because that's not what I saw. In fact, to all of those people, I got a song for you.
I just need you to shut the fuck up, because nobody asked you, bitch. I need you to shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Just shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Bow, bow, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow.
Yeah, so there's that. So that was a fun day yesterday. Yeah. Yeah. And for some reason, the NBC Nightly News had enough time to do a story on, oh shit. No, I can't even remember what it was. It was something ridiculous. It was like, oh damn, but it just was here and just flew out. Damn. What was it? It'll come to me. Something obviously not important. A fluff story, because they don't do news anymore. Oh, what I would give for a real newscast. Yes, I would. Oh, I got something to throw out here. So I was offered an interview. Well, you know, I've been painting. I do my painting, which I've enjoyed. And now that I can go out again, I'm still going to paint because I enjoy doing it. But I had noticed, you know, I spent many years doing music radio. And years ago, I got to interview Joni Mitchell. And with an album that had just been released, she put out a collection of her paintings. She's an amazing artist. And I've noticed that a lot of other musicians, a lot of really talented musicians are artists too. Bob Dylan has a show coming to Florida International University in Miami in November. I didn't know he was an artist too, but apparently he is. And so that's on my calendar. I'll be going to that. We don't often get cool things like that down here in Florida. Anyway, I was offered an interview with somebody, with a musician whose music I frankly don't really know. I am not a hard rocker, but there was a huge band. They still are big, I guess. They still, well, I was going to say they tour, but nobody's touring yet, though they will again soon. But the band Def Leppard, again, not my kind of music, but they've got a huge following. I mean, they're a huge, hugely successful band. And I know that their drummer, I believe, had a car accident or something that left him with just one arm. And he drummed. He was this very successful rock and roll drummer with one arm. So it's an interesting story anyway. Well, it turns out he, too, is an artist. And his exhibit is going to be here at three different Wentworth galleries in South Florida next weekend. So I was offered an interview with him. So I'm going to tape something with him tomorrow afternoon. So here's my question for you, because I know that they had a song called Photograph that was a hit. Photograph. But yeah, I'm not a fan. It's not my kind of music. But if you are a Def Leppard fan and you know about this guy, Rick Allen, feel free to send me you know, questions or things that I should talk to him about. I don't know if I'm going to play it tomorrow. It'll be short. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with him, but it's an interesting story. And it's Friday. And I had the chance to interview someone about a book called Doom, about disasters and catastrophes and how we've navigated them through the years. And I was going to do the interview and play that tomorrow. And that fell through. And I thought, yeah, we could use something a little on a lighter topic. So, Yeah. So anyway, if you're a Def Leppard fan, if you know Rick Allen's story and you have a burning question that I should ask him, email it to me, Nicole@NicoleSandler.com, because, yeah, I'm supposed to talk to him tomorrow afternoon at 2:30. So I got that going for me. All right. Well, you know what time it is, don't you? Whose turn is it to mix up those Dirty Debbies? Yours?
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 oranges. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acidic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTierney.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Ah, hello, Howie Klein.
Hi, Nicole Sandler. How are you?
I'm doing okay. And hey, we have we had some momentous news today that prompted me. Oh, I can't. I'd play it, but you wouldn't hear it. I was going to play the stripper because we can take off the masks, allegedly.
Yes, we can.
I know. I'm excited. It's.
I mean, the thing is that the CDC says it's okay to take off the mask. What does that mean for individual state mandates? I mean, in your state, you have no mandates anyway, but like in California, they were planning to end mask wearing in July.
Yeah.
So does that mean all of a sudden we can do it now, or are we waiting for July?
No, I think, there are qualifications. If you are fully vaccinated, you can do it now. You don't need to wear a mask. You can be indoors or outdoors. You can be with vaccinated people or non-vaccinated people. If you're fully vaccinated and you still have, 2 weeks to wait because you just had your second dose last week. So you're not considered fully vaccinated yet until you pass, whether it's 3 or 4 weeks, depending on the Moderna or the Pfizer. But once you're there.
And they told me 2 weeks.
Two weeks. Oh. Okay, so you got one more week to wait.
Yeah.
Cool. But then allegedly you are good to go. And even if somehow you do wind up catching the virus from somebody.
I don't even want to catch a cold.
I don't either. But allegedly, you won't get so sick that you'll wind up in the hospital that it'll be more like a flu. I don't want the flu and I certainly don't want COVID, but... it's better than winding up in the hospital on a ventilator and dying.
Right, but not necessarily better than avoiding people that haven't been vaccinated and wearing a mask, which I have no intention of not doing.
And that's exactly what I said. So I come on the air, I played the Rochelle Walensky statement, and then I did... And I took off my masks and my gloves and my shield and everything else and said, but I'm still going to wear a mask because there are too many people who are refusing to get vaccinated who won't wear a mask. Although somebody in the chat room said now all the anti-vaxxers said they're going to start wearing masks just to fuck with us or something. I don't know. Good. Let them wear masks. I hope they do. But yeah,
I hope so, too.
Yeah.
You know, a friend of mine, a state senator in Wisconsin, his wife was fully vaccinated. He was almost fully vaccinated. He was waiting for his weeks to pass. And his children were playing with other kids who were from, anti-vaxxer families. And although his kids had masks on, they still caught it. They very, very, very mild cases. Both kids were very, very mild. But my friend caught it from the kid. His wife didn't, but he did. And he was a fully masked guy, very, like I said, he had a shot and a half.
Wow. Wow.
So, and he had a mild case too, but he I don't want to get the flu. I don't want to get, let alone COVID.
You.
I don't want to get anything.
Right. And apparently.
And I'm very used to wearing masks. Yeah. I lived in Europe for many years and visited places like Japan that I didn't live in. And so I got used to wearing masks a lot anyway. And I've been wearing masks on planes for 20 years.
Oh, wow.
And masks don't bother me at all. So I don't see myself just because the CDC says, I was wearing masks long before the CDC recommended
it. Right.
Back when I started wearing masks on this COVID situation, they were saying, don't wear masks. Mm-hmm. But it didn't matter to me what they said.
Right.
So I want to continue wearing my really, really fetching N99, which I think is, extremely fashion forward, as I said in a tweet earlier. I don't go out much anyway.
I don't.
And
either.
When I go hiking in the hills, I don't wear a mask.
Right.
And it's just when I go inside and there's a chance of being around people who are unvaccinated, which is most places. I'll continue wearing my mask. I just ran out of my gloves, my nitrile gloves, one use gloves.
Uh-huh.
And I ordered another box.
Right.
I mean, these things aren't a burden to me. I don't feel like, I hate wearing the mask and I hate wearing the gloves. I'm not wearing my goggles anymore because they were fogging up and I couldn't see well.
Right.
But other than that, I'm fine with this stuff.
Right. And I am, too. And I'm in the same boat. I don't go out often. It's probably not going to change. It's not like I'm going to go back into a movie theater yet. Certainly not. I might go see a band just because I'm going through withdrawals, but probably only in an outdoor venue. You got to take common sense safety measures. But the fact that, the medical evidence is saying if you're fully vaccinated, you're good. You don't have to wear a mask. Just eases some of the stress and some of the worry.
Yeah.
But of course, I'm still going to wear it. I got it right here. And after I did my little striptease, I said, I'm going to keep wearing my mask because it's the sensible thing to do, mostly because of the other people around you. You don't know what their situation is. And the ones who won't get vaccinated are just as easy. They'll lie about it and not wear a mask and say, well, I've been vaccinated. I had an idea of coming up with like a button that you can wear that says, I'm fully vaccinated, just so that, to ease the mind of some people around you, like a scarlet letter or something.
I have one.
Do you?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if they give it everywhere, but at City of Hope, where I got mine, they give you something, which says, let me read it. I got my COVID-19 vaccine.
Yeah, I got one too from Holy. I got my vaccine at Holy Cross Hospital, and I'm holding up my face shield, which when I went in for my first shot, I was wearing. I don't wear this anymore, but they gave me a sticker. It says I received my COVID vaccine, and they're supposed to write the time on here so that 15 minutes later you can leave. By the time I went back 3 weeks later for my second shot, they just said, just wait in the waiting room 15 minutes and then you can leave. They didn't give any sticker. It was just so lax 3 weeks later. But
did they have you doing calisthenics?
No, they didn't have me doing anything.
Really?
Yeah. What, they did, had you?
Absolutely.
Wow.
In fact, I was leading the room. Because some people didn't want to do it, and I was trying to explain to them, if you don't move your arms around, you're going to be sorry tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
But if you want to prevent, feeling achy and, all these after effects of the vaccine, all you have to do is just move your arms.
Really?
And it's fun, and there's nice music, and let's do it.
Wow.
And everybody ignored me and gave me bad looks.
So did you have any reaction at all to either dose?
Not at all. They told me if I moved everything, kept moving my arms for the 15 minutes, I'd be fine. And they were right. I was. I didn't even feel an itch.
Wow.
I felt nothing.
Wow. No,
nothing for the second one.
This is the first I've ever heard of that. And I sat there for the 15 minutes. My arm was sore for the first one. And the second one, I was sick for about a day and a half. I was foolish.
And no one told you to move your arms?
No.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And you went to a hospital to get this.
I went to a hospital to get it. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I was in a hospital also, City of Hope, and they tell you very, very, you know, they don't only tell you to move your arms, they tell you why. And, you know, not everybody did it, but I did. And I, by the way, FYI, I've heard from quite a few people who said they had no effects of the of getting the two shots.
Uh-huh. Wow, that's good. Well, and again, I'd go through it 100 times more with the flu-ish symptoms that I had for a day and a half to not get COVID. I mean, it's worth it to me. Sorry, I don't want it. You know, I know some people who had it, had a fairly mild bout. And then later, a woman who you probably know, too, who's younger than me, I think she's 58, had a stroke. And it's got to be related. I mean, because there was no reason for her to have a stroke, but she's had health issues ever since having COVID. This long COVID is really frightening. And there's so much they don't know about it that you're better off just not getting it in the first place.
Exactly. So,
yeah.
But some of these anti-vaxxers feel that way about the vaccine, that there's so much that's not known about it that they feel they're better off not getting it. You know, I've seen some propaganda around that they... And, you know, it makes sense. It's not crazy right-wing ranting and raving. It's, you know, I don't agree with it, but I see why they've persuaded some people. I don't know why they do that. I don't know why. You know,
Tucker Carlson.
Kind of-
Who can say why Tucker Carlson says anything? But he's telling you, don't get the vaccine. It's dangerous. And then you have idiots like the people who ran the school, the Centner Academy in Miami, who are telling you, if you've been vaccinated, we're going to fire you because you can't work around the children because vaccinated people shed something from the vaccine that makes menstruating women have bleed harder and make them infertile. I mean, the stuff that they're coming up with is just insane, but so are they.
Right. There's I don't want to say yeshiva. It's not a yeshiva, but an Orthodox Jewish boys camp where they will not have any students allowed who have gotten the vaccine and no counselors allowed. You can't work there if you've gotten the vaccine.
Oh,
so the same
God.
Kind of craziness. What did I say?
Yeah, it's nuts. It's just nuts. So anyway, congratulations to us. We made it over, I think, the biggest hump. With the CDC saying if you've been fully vaccinated, you can start weaning yourself off the masks. But do it at your own discretion. But that's
right,
good
news.
Right,
it was my last day of double masking. I took my mask off. That was the mask over the mask.
Cool. All right. Howie, before we get on to what happened yesterday and what's going on with today's Republican Party and a couple of people in the Democratic Senate caucus, I have a question for you from one of our regular listeners. It's Cynthia, who lives in the San Jose area. And I think I recall, didn't you get solar panels on your house?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Well, she...
And also, I used to work at KSJO in San Jose.
Ah, yes. Okay. So Cynthia's in that area, and she sent me a message yesterday. Hold on. I'm scrolling up to find it. But basically, it's about, you know, she lives kind of, you know, on a fixed income. And she said, if I understand it correctly, let me go up a little further. She said, I'm hoping Howie might have comments on the new bill in California, AB 1139, which seems to me it'll kill solar. She said, and I believe it was introduced by Democrats. And she said, if I understand it correctly, it would add $50 to $86 monthly fee for customers like me who installed solar on their roofs. I'm not a rich person, unless you compare me with someone who's poverty stricken. I live in an expensive area, blah, blah, blah. So she put these solar panels on her roof when she had to redo her roof. She said, because I accept the science of climate change, but financially you could say that was questionable for me. If I knew they were going to throw this monthly fee at me, I wouldn't have done it. Do you know anything about this?
No, this is the first I'm hearing about it, and it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Now, what I had heard talked about, and maybe this is what it is, although I'm just throwing this out, a process where if you sell your excess solar back to the city,
right,
back to whatever the entity is
the county or whatever it is. Maybe there's a fee for that. But just for having solar panels, I don't think so.
This says, I'm reading now from San Francisco CBS Channel's website. AB 1139, which just went through the Utilities and Energy Committee hearing this week, would, if passed, tack on monthly fees for future and current solar users. The utility is proposing to cut users' current credits, paying 25 cents per kilowatt hour now to less than half that rate. So they're cutting back on the subsidies, which would increase the cost for consumers, which is crazy.
It is.
Yeah. So you need to look into that, Howie.
Yes.
It's AB 1139.
I know. I have it pulled up on my desktop already.
Okay, cool. All right. So then you can look into that.
I will.
All right. So now, I guess we need to talk about what the hell is going on in Congress. Liz Cheney, I have said so many times in the past week that, number one, Liz Cheney is not our friend. Number two, I'm pretty much diametrically opposed to anything and everything she stands for. But she's not a stupid woman. She's kind of smart. And she put herself in this position because she realizes that Donald Trump is the greater evil. I mean, I also think there's an ulterior motive here. I think she sees the writing on the wall and knows that he's going to go down, or the chances are pretty good that he's going to be indicted on something, and the house of cards around him will crumble, and she'll be positioned in a place to run for president in 2024.
Yeah, I don't think I'll run for president. I mean, she talks about
it. Yeah. But so is she just doing this just because, as she said, we can't allow Donald Trump anywhere near the Oval Office again? Is she that magnanimous?
I don't think she, I mean, this whole thing, it's not really her doing it, right? They're doing it to her. I think she just, you know, I think she probably felt, as her family did, that, you know, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be bad to build the party based on a lie. I mean, that's really, you know, they're building a new Republican Party based on a lie that Trump didn't lose the election, and that, you know, all the nonsense that he's always spouting. And she just didn't want to be part of it. There are others who didn't want to be part of it as well. They're just not in the leadership. Right. And Trump is coming after all of them.
Yeah, he is. He is. And, you know, I give her credit for that. I don't give her credit for much, but for standing up to him and not backing down, as almost everybody else in Republicans in Congress have. Adam Kinzinger seems to be the only other one who's willing to stand up and say, you know what, fuck it. If you want to vote me out of office, do it. But I can't, in good conscience, go along with the big lie. So,
well, basically, the 10 in the House who voted to impeach, they're all standing by that vote. They're not blaring it like she was. You know, they voted the way they were. When someone questions them, they you know, they're satisfied with having done it.
Mm-hmm.
They're not running around and grabbing every microphone that exists and spouting it. You know, some of them, I think, are, I think some of them, one or two of them, wish they hadn't voted that way, but they did vote that way, and they're not going to say they wish they hadn't voted that way.
Right. Okay.
But basically, they're sticking by their guns. Most of them are sticking by their guns. They're just not publicizing it.
Gotcha.
Kind of,
right.
The whole thing blows over. A guy like Katko,
right,
in Syracuse, or the two in Washington State. You know, they just wish it would go away.
Right. Well, don't we all?
We'll let them. Trump's not going to let that happen.
No. Okay, so then let's talk about the other elephant in the room, I suppose we could say. This week alone, I think it was on Tuesday, Joe Biden met with Joe Manchin. And on Wednesday, he met with Kyrsten Sinema, the two problem children of the Democratic Senatorial Caucus. What's going on with these two? Are they going to let the For the People Act go down in flames because they're playing this stupid game?
Well, before we talk about For the People Act, which I think they may have talked about as well, what I do know that they definitely talked about was the
infrastructure
and jobs bill.
Right.
So from what I'm hearing is that he basically said to them, look, I'm going to play out this whole bipartisan thing. We're going to do it in good faith. Manchin, he said, you know, you help shepherd that along. And at a certain point, when we're all satisfied, meaning you as well, when you're satisfied and I'm satisfied, that the Republicans are just stalling and they're playing a game and they're not going to do anything and they're not going to come along and they're just going to, you know, try to, like, run out the clock, at that point, we need you to help us get this through on reconciliation. And he needs Manchin and Sinema.
Yeah.
And from what I'm hearing is that he said to them, and this is an old, it's going to outrage you, but this is an old tactic that many, many presidents have used. And he's going to say, you know, name your price and we'll give it to you. You want a bridge that crosses the Wheeling River. You want, you know, a new superhighway that runs through a neighborhood in Tucson.
Yep.
You know, just tell us what you want and we'll put it in there.
And that's how it works. And that's how it's always worked. And the fact that the Democrats say they're going to bring back earmarks make it easier to do that. On the other hand, I hope he's also saying, and if you don't play ball with us, if you derail all the work we're doing to try to make life better for people in this country, well, then not only won't you get these projects, you will not see another dime in federal aid for Arizona or West Virginia, as the case may be. That's the kind of stuff that LBJ used to do, and that's why he was so successful.
Biden can't do that. It's not his personality, but it's not, that's not the real thing. You can't push Manchin because if Manchin flips, the majority flips, that means the Republicans get in control, and they would give Manchin a choice of any committee chair he wanted. They'd give him anything he wanted to flip the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want, you can't push him too hard.
Right.
You know, we all hate him, but you know, Biden's certainly not going to play that game. There's no chance that he would. I don't even think he would want to.
Right.
But there's no chance that he will. And with her, she's a different thing than Manchin. She's like a psychotic, so you have to deal with her on a different level. He's a, you know, Manchin is someone who you can deal with. I don't agree with anything, but he is sane. Whereas Sinema, who I know personally, is absolutely certifiably insane. I don't know how he's going to deal with her. But there must be a way. He probably has a psychiatrist giving him advice for how to deal with this insane.
You know, I wonder, I mean, to be a fly on the wall in some of these private discussions, I'm wondering what everybody else in the caucus says about her. I mean, I remember when she first came on the scene, she was a state senator from Arizona. She used to go on Countdown with Keith Olbermann on MSNBC talking about the Arizona Papers, Please bill. And that's where she got, you know, built a name as a progressive. And the fact that she was a bisexual progressive woman in the Arizona State Senate. And that was her. And she'd go on Olbermann and she, you know, and now she turns out to be this this ringer for the right. It's just inconceivable. I wish I knew what was behind this. Do you have any idea other than her just craziness?
No, I mean it's craziness. She's crazy. She's not a rational player.
Wow.
Like I said, I've known her since she was a state senator. I knew her pretty well, and I would say, you know, I realized it, before she got in Congress, I realized she was out of her mind. She was completely insane. And the more I was around her, the more I realized that, you know, this woman needs, you know, very, very serious mental help.
Yeah. Well, she's not the only one. Oh, my God. So last night, story breaks about Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is just the dregs of the earth. This talk about somebody who's got mental problems. So they're in the House chamber. She sees AOC. AOC's leaving the room, and she starts calling after her and, like, harassing her and saying, debate me on the Green New Deal, you chicken, and just verbally harassing her to the point where AOC finally called, I guess, the House Sergeant at Arms and said, this woman is threatening me. You need to protect your members. What the hell?
Yeah, I mean, today AOC said, look, I used to work in a bar. We used to throw customers like her out every day.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, you know, she's this is her MO. I mean, right? I mean, it reminded me immediately of what she did to David Hogg, like following him down the street screaming at him to debate her.
Right.
You know, you should try to get it into a relevant committee and debate. Oh, she's not allowed in committees.
That's
I forgot.
That's right. No, she's not allowed. She was kicked off all her committees. So I guess now she's got a lot of spare time so she can run around following members who actually work for a living and harassing them.
Which she has done. I mean, she did that with Cori Bush, who then moved her office to not be near her.
That's right.
And she did it to Marie Newman, where she insulted Marie Newman's daughter. I mean, this is a very, very sick puppy. And she... doing this for only one reason, which it gets her attention, it gets her heroic status on Newsmax, and she goes on and she's bringing in more money than any Republican in the House, other than I think Scalise outraised her, and I think that's it. I think if she was number two or number three.
That's astounding. Brought,
you know, I mean, usually freshman members of Congress don't bring in $1 million and a quarter, and she did. And that's because these Republicans love this kind of attitude. They think she's standing up for them.
Wow.
Love the fact that, you know, we see her an asshole. They see a heroine.
Wow. A heroine with, without the E on the end.
Well, she takes anabolic steroids, which can also be... not a very pleasant thing.
That's right. And I think that some of the cops who have control issues are also roided up. I think that's a big issue, but that's a topic on another subject. And then now she and Matt Gaetz have teamed up and they're doing these rallies. What are they? Is this the disgusting caucus or something? First of all, who would go to see these people is my question, but then you see they pack arenas.
Arenas? I know they went to the villages and all these, you know, old people sort of, you know, came to see them and cheer them. But did they really do arenas already?
Oh, I don't know if it's whatever the venues that they're doing these things at. The people are lining up to see them and they're pulling in money. Matt Gaetz, today we learned the guy, his friend, the former tax collector of Seminole County or whatever he was, is going to plead guilty and rat on Gaetz. Boy, talk about the dregs of the earth. These people are just creepy.
Right. Well, he ratted out Gaetz already, but he's now willing to do it in front of a judge and jury under oath.
Oh, okay. Well, cool. All right.
Yep.
It works for me. But what blows my mind is that the Republican leadership is silent on the issue of Matt Gaetz, who we now know has been stooping underage girls, paying for sex with them, transporting them, I believe, not only over state lines, but into the Bahamas. I mean, he's doing some bad shit, and that's only what we know about right now, and not a word yet. Tell me again.
And he's probably been offering them to, I'm assuming he's offering them to other politicians because he's been showing pictures of
them.
Right. Why is he showing pictures?
Naked pictures.
You know, I mean, there must be a reason.
Naked pictures of probably underage girls and bragging that he slept with them. And leadership doesn't want to push him out or do anything to punish him. And can you tell me again why Al Franken resigned?
Well, it's different for Democrats, as you know.
You know, there's a Joe Jackson song called It's Different for Girls. It's different for Democrats. We just have to change the words a little bit. Amazing. Oh. Absolutely amazing. All right, Howie. I was going to ask about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's a good class this year.
Didn't that come out a long time ago? Or is there the new ones already come?
The nominees came out, and now they've said who's actually in. And who got in? Tina Turner, Carole King.
Good.
Carole King, the Go-Go's, Jay-Z, Foo Fighters, Todd Rundgren. And then Todd Rundgren, finally. Kraftwerk, Charlie Patton, and Gil Scott-Heron get some kind of... early Pioneer Award or something. And also being honored are Billy Preston, Clarence Avant, Randy Rhoads, and LL Cool J.
Okay, I voted for Kraftwerk.
That's it?
Well, Carole King, I voted for her too. The Go-Go's, I voted for them.
Not Todd Rundgren, huh?
I don't remember everyone I voted for. Oh, Tina Turner, of course.
Cool. All right. Well, that's who's in. And so the induction.
I would vote for Tina Turner also.
Good. Yeah. Oh, Early Influence Award is Kraftwerk, Charlie Patton, and Gil Scott-Heron, which is cool. And Musical Excellence Award is LL Cool J and Billy Preston and Randy Rhoads. All right. So that's that. And with that, we're out of time. So, Howie Klein, we'll talk to you next week.
See you next week. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Bye. All right. And so there you go. With that, we're done for the day. Don't forget, I'm interviewing the guy from Def Leppard tomorrow. So send me questions, all right? Because I kind of need them. I should have asked Howie, right? Oh, well. Next time.